Our meditation together on the love of God, about which the choir has just been singing, will be profitable to you. Those of us who are Christians, that we'll revel in His love, and those who don't know Him as Savior will come to know Him before the meeting comes to a close. And above all else, that the name of the Lord Jesus will be lifted up and glorified here in the meeting tonight. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. We'll begin reading at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm sure God will bless to our hearts the public reading of His precious word. Only Luke gives us this story. But Luke gives us several stories that are peculiar just to him. He is the only one that tells us of the lost prodigal, the one that went off into a far country and came back home as a worthless boy, having spent all that his father gave him and landed in a pig pen, but yet, when coming home and repenting of his sin, was, according to God's word, received joyfully, received back into the Father's bosom. He tells us also of the Pharisee and publican, two that were praying in the temple, well, at least one of them was praying. The other one was saying that, well, I'm not like other men. I give tithes. And I'm a good fellow, Lord. You should be glad that I'm on your side. And I'm not like that publican over there. Well, the Bible says the publican would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible says that that man went down to his home justified more than the other. And Luke tells us that it is the outcast and the publican and the sinner for whom the Lord Jesus came to save. That's how the reading ended. The Lord Jesus said, as he summarized the conversion of Zacchaeus, the Son of Man, verse 10, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost. But today was going to be a day that Zacchaeus would never, ever forget. He puts his dignity in his back pocket. He scrambles up a sycamore tree, and he is found by love. Maybe this was the first time Zacchaeus had felt loved in a long time. And he was surprised by the kind words that came from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And it melted his heart. It melted a heart full, according to this story, of greed and selfishness, and made him a new creation in Christ Jesus. Did you come here tonight to find Jesus? Did you listen in by television to find the Lord? I can promise you that if you find Him, you will not be disappointed. What were the motives of Zacchaeus as he looked for the Lord Jesus? Verse 3 says that he wanted to know who He was. Now that may not be the best motive that anyone ever used when coming to the Lord Jesus, but it's a good motive. If you find out who Jesus is, He can make the difference in your life. He can make the difference between heaven and hell, between hope and hopelessness, between blessing and torment, between salvation and condemnation. This man Zacchaeus, the Bible says, was a publican or tax collector. But for him, what made that worse was he was a Jewish tax collector. Sometimes you can tell what kind of person someone is by the work that he does. I know in these days of economic trouble, we don't always do what we would like to do, but if you're allowed to choose, it often says something about you. For instance, you'd expect a nurse to be very compassionate, wouldn't you? You'd expect that she would have initially had a compassionate heart, learned her profession, and what I believe to be just as important as the medicine, treat the patient with kindness. You would expect the teacher to be patient. Well, maybe that's stretching it a bit after all that they must go through, but ordinarily you would. But you wouldn't expect a person who is shy and sensitive to become an international spy. It just doesn't seem to go right. You wouldn't expect a good Christian to own and operate a public house. And perhaps you wouldn't expect a Jew to take a job that would make him go to his people on behalf of a foreign government and steal from them. But that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. He was not only a publican, according to God's word, he was the chief publican. He would exact all that was required of him by Rome, and then he would exact more so that he could put that in his own pocket. It is believed that these jobs were given out on tender. Several people would give in their tenders, and the highest one would get the job. So to begin with, the people were taxed very high. According to his contract, he had to give to the Roman government. But what made it worse, especially for Zacchaeus, was that he was allowed to get more taxes from them and to put the balance in his pocket. And as a result, he was a very rich man. He became hated by his fellow Israelites. But Zacchaeus obviously loved money more than any of those things. He loved money more than patriotism. It didn't seem to bother him that he wasn't acting like a good Jew. He loved money more than religion. The story I just quoted from the Pharisee and the publican in the temple tells us what the religious people thought about him. That didn't seem to bother him at all. It didn't seem to bother him. Perhaps it did. And he loved money more than popularity. It is unlikely that if you were a beggar in Jericho and a Jew, that you wouldn't go across Zacchaeus' door to get food to eat. That's how much he was hated by his fellow countrymen, the Jews. But you know, we possibly can judge Zacchaeus too harshly. Maybe there was more than curiosity involved. Maybe the hatred of his fellow men was getting to him. When the Lord Jesus was found eating and drinking with publicans and sinners, the Pharisees murmured against him as if that was the lowest thing you could possibly do, to be found in a publican's house. Perhaps the emptiness of his heart had begun to get to him. Perhaps realizing that money was not able to buy the peace and contentment that he needed had finally reached the heart of this man. And at the same time, he heard that Jesus was passing by. And he had heard that Jesus, the newest rabbi, didn't treat publicans like the Pharisees did. And perhaps, in addition to that, just perhaps, because we don't know. I know what I felt like before I got saved. I felt like the Lord was coming any moment or I was going to die any moment. And I felt that every time I heard the gospel would be my last time. Perhaps some of those thoughts entered the heart of Zacchaeus as well. Well, if they did, Zacchaeus would not be disappointed this day. And can I tell you, dear unsaved friend, you won't be disappointed either if you come to Jesus. You see, if you meet him, you can, like Zacchaeus, leave saved. The problem is, not everybody believes they're lost. Do you believe that you're lost tonight? Well, you say, of course we do. We came out to listen to the gospel. Have you listened to the gospel before? What have you done with the claims of the Lord Jesus? But you know, Zacchaeus gives us an example in another way as well. Zacchaeus tells us by his actions that if you believe that something that you're doing is right, you should pursue it, even if people laugh at you. You see, if what you are doing will bring you to Jesus, you shouldn't mind if people laugh at you. The crowd can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out of hell into heaven. Well, whatever they expected, whatever Zacchaeus expected, well, to be honest with you, I don't think he expected anything. I think Zacchaeus got up that tree so quickly and got off that road so quickly that nobody saw him. And I believe he felt that this was going to be a time when he would be alone and be able to look at the crowd, probably make fun of some of them whom he had pulled a lot more money from than he should, and look at the Lord Jesus and be undisturbed. But Zacchaeus was surprised. And I'm sure the crowd was surprised because of the words that the Lord Jesus spoke. He stopped. The crowd stopped. He was right beneath the tree. You possibly could only see a little of Zacchaeus through the leaves. But the Lord Jesus called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. So wonder how his name sounded to him coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps this is the first time that he heard that name sounded so sweetly in his life. Perhaps never kindly since he left his mother's knee. His life had made him an outcast. And most of that was of his own making. But the Lord of life and glory passed his way that day. And as far as recorded scripture is concerned, it is the only house that he ever went to uninvited. The Lord Jesus doesn't go where he's not wanted. The Pharisees didn't want him. They were too proud. And he doesn't stay where he's not welcome either. But he always goes where there is a Zacchaeus, or where there is a need like Zacchaeus' need. Jesus knew the secret longings, and perhaps they were secret, of Zacchaeus' heart. He knows the longings of your heart tonight. He knows all about you, just as he knew all about this man. And he would meet those needs before the day came to a close. And he'll do the same for you, if you're here in this meeting tonight without him. The word Zacchaeus, pronounced on the lips of the Lord Jesus, meant that Jesus was God. Nobody had told him Zacchaeus' name. He probably hadn't seen him coming down the road by his natural eyes, but he knew he was there. And because he knew he was there, he was omniscient God, because he knows everything. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, Philip and Nathanael are under the tree talking. Philip is inviting Nathanael to meet this Nazarene. Nathanael says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip says, come and see. And before he gets to the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus says to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. That's all he says. And Nathanael, being the good, faithful Jew, knowing his Old Testament that he did, said these words, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Because in his heart, nobody could do that. Nobody had told him who he was either. Nobody had told him anything about him, but he knew all that he needed to know. And he could have said those same words to Zacchaeus. He could have said, come down out of the tree, Zacchaeus. I knew you before you went up there. I knew you before you were born. I made an appointment with you before you were conceived, Zacchaeus. And I knew I would meet you today. The Lord Jesus knew that you would be here in this meeting tonight. Did you come to meet him? Did you come to enjoy the singing? If you did, you will not be disappointed. It was absolutely beautiful. But did you come to meet Jesus? Jesus is here tonight. And he came, I can say without fear of contradiction, he came to save you. Because he says so, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Savior used the first names of people often as he walked this scene. You remember Mary is standing outside of the door of the sepulcher. She's crying because she believes that the body of Jesus has been stolen. She looks around and sees the Lord but doesn't recognize him and says, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've laid him so I'll go and get him. And the Lord Jesus just called her name, Mary, he said. And that dear weeping disciple had all of her troubles and doubts swept away just by her name being called by her Savior. And the Lord Jesus is going to do that for Zacchaeus. And I say again, he'll do it for you. Because he enjoys, he loves, he came to save individual people from their sins, the Zacchaeuses of the world. You know, when God makes promises in his word, he makes them for everybody. And that's the big picture. But God makes promises in his word for individual people. Everybody gets saved one at a time. And all the promises are for you and for me. In each gospel where it says, whosoever, the whosoever of the world is for the whosoever's of the world to come and say, whosoever means me. God so loved me that if I believe on him, I shall not perish, but I shall have everlasting life. The big picture is there. It is true. He bowed heaven and came down that he might save all who would trust him. But he also came to save you and me. It's like crystals. Some are so small they're microscopic. There are bigger crystals. But they're all made by the same forces acting in the same fashion. And when the Lord Jesus came down to save the world, he came with the same intent as he is in this room tonight, knocking at your heart's door. The same thing that made God to be made flesh, motivated Jesus to walk through Jericho that day. He came to the cross he might save people from their sins. He came to Jericho so that he might save one sinner, so that he might open the door of heaven to one man. He was within about a week of Calvary. He had entered and passed through Jericho. That first verse indicates that there was some haste. I don't know if that's a good word to use about Jesus, but it tells us that he had something on his mind. He had an attitude of pressing forward without wavering. His desire was to be perfected on the cross of Calvary, Luke 13:32 says. And this was his highest aim. But something stopped him. If that was the big picture, the little picture stopped him. Today, I must abide at thy house. He came to save all, but he came to save them one at a time. He came to save Zacchaeus, and he came to save you, and he came to save me. It's amazing, you know. He can take unspoken choices, unspoken needs, and bring them out into the open. Zacchaeus hadn't said a word up until this moment. And yet he knew Zacchaeus' need. And he knows the needs of every person in this building. And I saved or unsaved. And he, if we will let him, he will be all that we want. I know that. I know it because God's words says it. And I know it by experience. But more than that, he is all that you need tonight. If you're here without the Lord Jesus. Zacchaeus was surprised by his name being called. But now he listens to what the man who called that name tells him to do. Make haste and come down, he says, for today I must abide at thy house. Did you ever think of what would have happened had Zacchaeus not come down? Well, you know what would have happened. The Lord Jesus would have gone on to Jerusalem. Zacchaeus wouldn't have been saved. This was the last time that the Lord Jesus would pass through Jericho before he went to the cross. And the must of the Lord Jesus would have not been fulfilled. I must abide at your house would have not come to pass because Zacchaeus would not have heeded the call. He doesn't force himself on anyone. He will save, but only if you want him to. He respects that awful prerogative, but awfully true prerogative, that a man is allowed to be the master of his own fate. God, through the Lord Jesus, gives that privilege to you and to me. He gives me a free choice. Many people will exercise that free choice tonight and say no to the claims of the Lord Jesus. You've done it many times if you're here without Him. I need to tell you something, sinner friend. You can only come when He calls you. You cannot come if and when you want to. He is still the sovereign God, and He will decide one day to close the door on His office of mercy. And you'll be left outside forever. He will decide either by your death or by the return of the Lord Jesus. And the day of grace will be closed for you. And you'll be like the hymn writer says, you will have your sad soul left in the blast because you, by willful resistance, over and over again, you would have crossed over the dead line at last and enter into a place where there is no more hope. The Lord Jesus wouldn't pass through Jericho again. For Zacchaeus, it was now or never. A rabbi was once asked, when is the day that I should be saved? The rabbi answered, on the last day of your life. Oh, but the man said, I don't know when that day will be. Then the rabbi said, repent now. That's the best advice that he ever received. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Zacchaeus listened to the Lord Jesus. Zacchaeus did what the Lord Jesus said. Zacchaeus obeyed Him. What about you tonight? Do you intend to obey the Lord Jesus? You may never hear the gospel again. I know that you're thinking it. I've heard that over and over again. All of the people who are in the grave heard this gospel for the last time. One time they heard it was the last time. Tonight may be your last time. I don't know that. You don't know it. No one knows but God, but one day it will be the last time. Zacchaeus listened, heeded God's word, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and was saved. He was saved, and the Lord Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. He was saved because He came down and received Him joyfully. That's a step of faith. He could have stayed up in the tree. Jesus would have passed by. Zacchaeus would have been lost. I ask you tonight, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus? What are you going to do with His words? Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Zacchaeus was not saved by good works, but it is amazing what Zacchaeus did once he got saved. He turned to the Lord Jesus, having received this gift of salvation, having had his life changed. He turned to the Lord Jesus and said, behold, Lord, that's amazing. He was his Savior, and a few moments later, he's his Lord. Takes some of us a lifetime to get to that place, to give up everything that we own, to turn it all over to the Lord Jesus. Zacchaeus did it almost instantly. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. Somebody said he should have changed that. He should have said, since I have taken lots from lots of people, I should restore it fourfold, because that's exactly what he did. But not only was Zacchaeus' soul saved, his life was changed. Money wasn't important to him anymore. Money was his life. He was a greedy man. But now, he was a saved man. You know, if you had gone by Zacchaeus' house that morning and knocked on the door and said, Zacchaeus, I've got some news for you. Tonight, you're going to be next to a pauper, and you're going to be happier than you ever were before in your life. Zacchaeus would have thought you were insane, but that's exactly what happened to him. He gave his money away, and now the salvation that he possesses comes out in evidence to those around him. And that's what salvation does. Saved friend and sinner friend. That's what salvation does. It changes. May I ask? If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, may I ask what tree what kind of tree you are in? A tree of sin, I'm sure. The Bible says all have sinned. It's not a strange tree to Jesus. He's looked up these trees for many, many years. Is Jesus saying to you tonight? I know he is. Make haste and come down from your tree. Your tree of sinfulness and pride and selfishness. Sins like the Pharisees had of self-righteousness, not even thinking they needed salvation. Sins like this publican had of greed and godlessness. Jesus says to them, he says to you, today I must abide at your house. But you say, I have so much that needs to go. I have so much that needs to be changed. So did Zacchaeus. Jesus came into his house and Zacchaeus voluntarily gave all of them up. When he comes in, he'll help you decide. He'll help you decide what to keep and what to give, and I promise you, on the authority of God's word, that you will be a happier man. You will be a more joyful man or woman or boy or girl with Christ and nothing than with everything without the Lord Jesus. May I repeat that? You will be a happy, more joyful person with Christ and absolutely nothing than with everything without the Lord Jesus. He is close by you tonight. He's right against you, as close as the softest whisper that you could speak. He will hear and he will understand. You have to mean it, but if you surrender your life to him, if you are willing to forsake your sin and trust him as your Savior, he will give you joy that I can stand here from now until I go into eternity, I will not be able to describe it. And then to be taken into his presence where the Bible says is fullness of joy and at whose right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Won't you trust him tonight? Won't you come to him and accept him as your Lord and Savior? Zacchaeus did. Many of us in the meeting here tonight have. We trust that before you pillow your head that you will turn your life, your soul over to the Lord Jesus and accept him as your own Lord and Savior. We're going to close the meeting by singing hymn number 273. Number 273. For those of us who are here in the chapel, this will be the final thing of the service. For you who are perhaps watching by means of television, we invite you again to take this step. Zacchaeus could have stayed up in the tree, as we've said. He took the step Jesus asked him to do and came down. Won't you do that tonight? The hymn says, only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? Come, and thy sin confessing to him, thy Savior bow. Only a step. Only a step. Come, he waits for thee. Come, and thy sin confessing, thou shalt receive a blessing. Do not reject the mercy he freely offers thee. Number 273, I'm going to ask you to stand. As we sing, I'll close the meeting in prayer when the hymn is finished. Thank you. Dear our Father, for the message of the gospel, we thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus, so beautifully given, offered, and received by Zacchaeus. We pray that will encourage the hearts of those who are in the meeting tonight who have not yet surrendered to thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the message and its meaning be real to them. May they see themselves lost as Zacchaeus was. May they understand that the Lord Jesus is passing his way this evening and that he's asking them, as he did that man of old, to make haste and come down, and that he will receive them if they will indeed receive him. These things we pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.